Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Giant Mess, a super sloppy sports entertainment talk show that's hosted by a giant mess. That's me, the real Cinch, Neil Lynch. I'm a New York Giants football fan, Mets baseball fan, and I love movies, TV, and comedy. On this here episode of Giant Mess, we're going to be talking about Dave Attell's stand-up special on Netflix called Hot Cross Buns, Dimitri Martin's stand-up special called Deconstructed, and Dan Soder's special, the name of which I have forgotten, on YouTube. We'll also talk about a trio of movies, the first of which is Argyle, a spy comedy starring Bryce Dallas Howard and Sam Rockwell. Talk to Me, which is an underrated cult favorite horror hit of last year, Australian. And then the last movie we'll talk about is Plane, an action thriller starring Gerard Butler and Michael Coulter. And I'm going to finish things off with some talk about X-Men 97, animated series. Bit of a nostalgia play on Disney Plus. So, I mean, without further ado, let's commence, y'all. I did get to watch Dave Attell's Hot Cross Buns on Netflix. Pretty decent special on the short side. I remember, I listened to a few podcasts. He was on like Whiskey Ginger and one other one, but he was talking about the length of the special. He was like, I'm not going to put out an hour special and only 30 minutes of it is good and the other 30 minutes is just filler and it sucks. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. And so this one was on the shorter side, about 40 minutes, and he had to fill in 2 minutes at the end because Netflix, I guess, wouldn't pay him unless he gave him 40 minutes. It's funny. But it is interesting to see, because I also that same night watched Dimitri Martin's Deconstructed special on Netflix. I don't want to say polar opposites in terms of comedy per se. Dave Attell's, I guess they are not in the same sphere, really. Dave Attell's more raunchy, kind of dirty, grimy. And like his special was very, it seemed very like not low budget, but just like not a lot of production value, really. It's just like, here it is, boom. And like, let's go. Then you watch Dimitri Martin's stand-up special and it's like, He'll stop the special. There's like text on screen. There's like interactive skits. There's like clips that he comes in that he works off of. There's like inner monologue. It was just a totally different experience. Both of them are very funny. I think I like Dimitri Martin's Deconstructed a little bit more. He's big on wordplay. I've always like wondered how comedians like that who have these acts where they need like props and AV and like they're putting on like a full show, almost like, Bo Burnham. How do they get to that point? They build up like at some point they have to go to the guy who manages the venue and say, hey, here's my act. I need this. This is like, So I always found that interesting of like, comedians that like rely on or depend on props, like Dimitri Martin. He always has this like kind of easel, big white board sketch thingy with paper. And so he made a lot of use of that, which I liked. So, but it was black and white. Kind of like almost, I don't want to say avant-garde, but it felt like a noir almost, like a throwback to like the 30s, 40s, 50s, that kind of thing. But yet his comedy is, modern. So interesting juxtaposition. I ended up watching Argyle. It's a spy comedy with Bryce Dallas Howard, Sam Rockwell, Dua Lipa, and Henry Cavill, Samuel L. Jackson, Bryan Cranston. Pretty stacked cast, but I could not handle the CGI and the visual effects. Just so blatantly present and in your face that it's distracted me for most of the movie. Usually when I take an edible and I watch a movie with a lot of CGI or visual effects, I'm just like, is any of this real? Like I get very caught up in like So I wonder if they're on a stage, like a green stage, or if they're actually on location. Because it seemed like every scene was not on location. It was just like the very few scenes were on location. A lot of it was just on a stage where they'll put it in and post. It reminded me a lot of Spy with Melissa McCarthy, but not as much comedy. Spy meets The Spy Who Dumped Me with Kate McKinnon and Mila Kunis. Ghosted, you know, with Chris Evans and Ana de Armas. And The Lost City with Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum. Just like mostly Lost City, because, you know, this one in Argyle, I don't know what I was expecting. I thought it was going to be more of like a Guy Ritchie type thing, along the lines of like The Gentleman, you know, Snatch, Lock, Stock. Like, I thought it was going to be more in line with that. Like, it had that kind of aesthetic, I remember, in the trailers. And then it's like, wait, they, and maybe I was just not paying attention. Very possible. But in watching a lot of the promos, trailers, and whatnot for Argyle, it did not seem that it was going down this road that it went down. So if you haven't seen it and you don't want to spoil them, well, then you need to turn this off or skip ahead. But if you have seen it, you know what I'm talking about. If you're watching all the promos, the trailers, the whatevers, spots on TV, did you think that it was going to be about like an author who writes books? And it's like, oh no, is this actually like, did they really hoodwink us and this is actually a rom-com about an author? And then you start to figure out like, oh, this has the same beats as Lost City with Sandra Bullock, where it's like, oh, there's like a, well, I guess he is a real spy. But, you know, a female author of spy novels who magically can write things about these spies and they come true. Like, I thought that was a possible plot storyline. And then ultimately, you know, you end up finding out that she was a spy. She lost her memory. So Jason Bourne meets The Lost City meets whatever. And I remember when Sam Rockwell's first introduced, I was like, man, they would have done it. This would have gone a lot, maybe it would have been a lot more interesting if like the roles are reversed and it's like the male author of spy books and a female spy. And sure enough, no, it turns out that Bryce Dallas Howard is a spy as well. There were a couple cool scenes. But again, it inventive, creative. This is not a comedy. I don't know. In terms of comedies, it almost felt like it didn't know what it wanted to be. Like, it's an action comedy, but they treated it with the budget of a comedy, not an action movie. And you can tell from the very beginning, it's like, okay, well, that stunt is completely CGI. Like, when Henry Cavill is driving the car down all those buildings, it's like, this is like complete CGI. Like, there's nothing, there are no practical effects about this. Like, they're on the boat and like, is the boat? No, it's the stage. So it just felt like every location and setting was digital CGI visual effects. And it was just like, it just kind of takes you out of the realness of it. So that when they do try to get real and raise the stakes, you're like, dude, you lost me when you had like 15 other sequences where there's CGI. I mean, like when Sam Rockwell and Bryce Dallas Howard team up to kind of escape that one facility, and they're shooting the different colors of smoke bombs everywhere. That was cool visually. I appreciated that. But again, at the same time, it was just a lot of CGI. The other scene that where I was just like, okay, I think this movie has jumped the shark, but maybe people will go for it. When they spill the oil all over the floor. And, you know, there have been hints and nods to the fact that Bryce Dallas Howard is into skating, but had a skating accident. And that was all part of her fake backstory when she got hypnotized. And so, but then she was like, no, I was an actual skater. And they just kind of played into that and said that that's how I got my accident, when really I got the accident on the job, on my spa job. I wonder what that insurance costs. You know what I'm saying? So a tub, barrel of oil spills, floor is covered in oil. She then takes, I don't know, the blades from two of her knives, attaches them to her shoes, which you can do apparently, and just skates around beating the shit out of people. Now, I have no qualms with a lot of that sequence, I think it's fucking rad that they have a person who knows and is into skating, doing all these tricks and beating the fuck out of all the bad guys. I love it. On oil though, dude, on oil, like I would much have preferred, like there's got to be a better way to write that scene where it's like they spilled, you know, someone knocks over a vat of liquid and then they spill night. I don't know. And it turns to ice. I cannot buy. Oh, this is just like oil that's spilled and you can skate on oil. You lost me. So that was quite the viewing, because I was just like, what's going on now? I mean, I do love Bryce Dallas Howard. She's just, oh boy. They tried to make her like frumpy or whatever, or, you know, not whatever. And, I was just like, you can do what you want. It's not changing this up y'all or this in y'all or this down y'all. Oh boy. but also Bryce Dallas Howard trying to run and like do shit in that dress. I was just like, all right, maybe, I don't know. I get caught up in that shit. It's so stupid, but I get caught up in it. Like, okay, this is a superhero. This is a spy. And that's how they run. I mean, and I'm no runner. I'll be the first to admit. Like, I fucking suck at running, but damn. I tried to watch Damsel because it's like one of the most popular movies according to Rotten Tomatoes right now, at least on Netflix. It's got 11 from Stranger Things, Millie Bobby Brown. I think I watched like the first scene, maybe 5 minutes, and I was just like, I can't handle this. I can't handle this. It's not for me, right? No win to fold them. Instead, I watched the Dan Soder standing up special on YouTube. Do you think I would remember what it's called? No, dude. On the Road. He actually released this about a month ago. It's only 39 minutes, but it doesn't feel like it's dragged out. It's very, you know, the beats are nice. The pace is great. I know that he is getting more and more and more popular, and rightfully so. But I'm a little surprised that he hasn't officially blown up. You know what I mean? Like, okay, he's friends with Joe Rogan. He goes on the Joe Rogan podcast. He probably has a very, very strong following. You know, I'm not saying that he's, but I feel like there's such another level to that dude, a bigger, bigger level, especially with his voice, like his ability to manipulate his voice. Every time he does a voice, it gets me to laugh. It doesn't matter what the joke is. So I highly recommend that one. Dan Soder, On the Road, talks a lot about being a child of divorce, and how, you know, how that affected him. It led me to like Google, what is the percentage of children of divorce that end up getting divorced or something like that? And it was like, well, results may vary, but they always give that, the AI always gives that qualifying statement of like, it's dependent on a lot of multiple factors and varies from blah, blah, blah. It's like, all right, just assume that I know that because you say it every time you answer something, or just put up a disclaimer, like, so you don't have to keep repeating that. But apparently like 40% more likely to get divorced if you're a child of divorce. Whoa. All right. All right. So yeah, I would put the Dan Soder stand-up special probably above Dave Attell, and I'm going to say it maybe above Dimitri Martin. It was a good special. I started another special by David Cross, but I couldn't finish it. I ended up listening to his 2002 special, which I do not remember what the name of it is. But there is a morning radio zoo crew answer. I didn't know what the name of the track was, so I kept putting in David Cross morning radio zoo crew. But apparently the name of the track on the album is Answer the Telephone. I remember listening to this when I was in grad school in 2003 on loop. It was just like so fucking good. And I listened to it that night, because I was like, all right, I'm tired. I want to go to sleep, but I want to end on a really good note. Cause I stopped his new special, you know, I got to end on something good. And I looked so hard for it. So I got to listen to it. So good. Still good. 20 years later, still good. So if you have the resources, David Cross, Answer the Telephone. but he basically talks about how like he went out the night before he was supposed to go on like a very early morning appearance on a radio show where, you know, he makes fun of the, that whole setup where it's like, it's usually two guys and one guy's named after an animal, like the bear. And the other guy is like a fat party guy wearing a Hawaiian shirt. And he's always like the lunatic. It's just like talking about how he's he and how much he hates those appearances in those shows. But you got to do it if you want people to come out to the show, which I don't, I'd love to know the percentages, the numbers on that. Anyway, because people who watch early morning TV show will go to late night comedy shows. Okay, got it. So, but he's talking about how he went out the night before hard. He ran into this band that he knows. The band knows him. So they got together and they partied hard. And so he ended up going back to the hotel and like he couldn't speak. He was so drunk. And then trying to set the alarm and like not being able to set the alarm, which I've done that. It's why I have two or three alarms that go off in the morning. People think I'm a psycho. And it's like, yes, I am a psycho, but I'm up. Right? I'm awake now. Because normally I would get drunk and I would always set it the opposite. Like if it's, I'm supposed to be up at 8 a.m., my man, 8 a.m., I'll set it for 8 p.m. without a doubt. And so I think he did the same thing. And he says he woke up to someone just loudly banging on the door saying, answer the telephone. Answer the telephone. And so. And it's just him being so drunk and confused because he was on like maybe 2 hours of sleep and he was still very drunk. So if you have the means, one of the best stand-up comedy bits that will never not get me to laugh. The big movie that I saw, like I said, I saw a ton of movies that I don't know, someday in the distance, far away. I'll maybe get to see. Actually, I'll leave that for now. I did get to see Talk to Me and Plane. So I got to see Talk to Me. Very highly rated on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it's like plus 90% of critics and audience give it high reviews. Quote unquote, good reviews. Favorable reviews. And so I've been dying to... yeah, see? Pun intended, bro. Dying to see it. But if you're not familiar... I think it's like an indie movie out of Australia. It's about these teenagers who get their hands on a severed hand mold, like a statue or figurine or something like that, that's the actual size of a human hand reaching out as if to give someone a handshake. And so basically if these teens were like having these parties where they figured out that if you shake the figurines, the statue's hand, and you say, talk to me, you can then see this apparition, this ghost, this spirit, this whatever that's in this, the purgatory nether world. And you can talk to them, you can see them and talk to them. And then if you say, let me in, boom, you're then possessed by them. And they figured it out that if you have to unplug, quote unquote, so you have to like release your grip from the figurine before 90 seconds is up. Because after 90 seconds, the spirits will stay within you. And one of the main characters, her mother died, and we're led to believe that she died of a suicide. But then there's some doubt that maybe the father killed her because there was a lot of scratching on the door. Like if you're going to kill yourself and take a bunch of pills, then why are you going to scratch at the door? I guess, you know, yeah, regret. And you're like, oh no, fuck. I don't want to do this. I get it. But so that's going through her head the whole time. She ends up doing it because she wants to impress all these other teens because she feels alone. Like she only has the one friend and the little brother of the friend that she hangs out with, like their family. She's over their house all the time, sleeping over. So, but outside of them, she doesn't really have friends. She feels like an outsider, a weirdo, blah, blah, blah. Goes to this party, volunteers to do this thing, and it ends up, I think she goes a little too long, like over 90 seconds. And so they're able to pull her back out, or so they think, and they're like, okay, you good? And she's like, yeah, I think I'm all right. And so, nah, you're not right, dude. Yeah. So she, listen, I mean, you see those kinds of scores, quote unquote, but it's people saying, I think it's just a lot of people saying, yeah, it was a good movie. I'm like, it's an okay movie. I'd watch it. It was entertaining. It does not mean it's a great movie. Like I saw some people on Twitter, you know, post screening their reactions being like, oh, this is a great horror movie, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's a good movie. That's for sure. And, you know, I think like the special effects, a lot of the spirits that they show is like, oh shit. I mean, you know, there's some moments where like, it's why I don't watch stuff like Smile or what was that other, there was another movie where it was just like, this is a little too real. You know, I mean, one of the opening scenes in this movie, I think it is the opening scene. It's like an older brother trying to find his younger brother at a party. Younger brother comes out, takes a knife, stabs the brother, stabs himself in the head. And it's just like, it's just so, the way it's shot and the sounds, it's not, it's like you're there and it's happening. Like when the little brother ends up doing it, spoiler, because he did it and he's able to channel the deceased, his sister's friend's deceased mother's spirit, right? Inhabits him and is able to talk to the daughter. And so the daughter wants to keep talking to her, which, hey, I get it, man. I'm right there with you. And so that's when the kid ends up going more than 90 seconds and is supremely fucked. But like the, like him slamming his head on the table repeatedly. Ooh, oh boy, that's tough. You know, because you saw those trailers for, I think it's Smile and one other movie where it's like they cut to black or they, you know, because it's, you know, not intended for all audiences. In the trailer they show and it's just like, no. Because they're going to show it in the movie and I'm not going to like it. But then again, I watched The Dark Knight and the Joker does the pencil trick, which that sends shivers up my spine to this very mo. So talk to me. Yeah, I'd recommend it, but I wouldn't, you know, I think I got a little too amped and hyped internally for that. I think I put it up on a pedestal, put the movie on the pedestal. I should not have done that. So that's on me. But Australian, so the accents are cool. I think it's Australian. Performances were great. The mom was funny as fuck. So funny. It's just like, yes, okay, this feels real. So I felt like the acting was like pretty awesome stuff. Direction was great. Visual effects, special effects, you know, practical effects. Practical, dude, were great. And yeah. So, yeah, I'd say watch it. But like, if you've been privy to or subject to a lot of the, there's a little bit, not a humongous hype machine behind it, but like, just to pump the brakes there, brah. So that was one of the movies that I've been waiting a long time to watch. Cause it felt like you had to rent it for months and months and months on end. It just like was not going to go to streaming. I eventually got to see it on Paramount Plus, which I guess they no longer charge for Showtime on through Paramount Plus. They're just like, all right, fuck it. No one was buying Showtime add-on, so we're just going to let you have it. Just like, all right, nice. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And then Plane is another movie where I think it's from Lionsgate. Fuck Lionsgate, dude. It feels like every Lionsgate movie, most Lionsgate movies, they just never go to streaming. It's like, we're going to put this, you're going to have to buy it for, you can only buy it for like 6 months. You can only rent it for the next 12 months and then it'll hit FX in 10 years. What the fuck, dude? So I was able to see it only because I signed up for a free trial for Stars on Amazon Prime Video. Oh, shit. So yeah, that was, but it was good. Yeah, I mean, it's a, you know, I love Gerard Butler for the most part. I love Michael Coulter. I believe he was, what was that Marvel series? There was a pretty decent Marvel series. Was it Jessica Jane? Jessica Jones. Yeah. I remember she had a Netflix series with Kristen Ritter. Who did, She was Jessica Jones. Mike Coulter was Luke Cage. That's right. Luke Cage. Remember him being okay in Jessica Jones. Anyway, he's in Plain, and him and Gerard Butler make a decent duo. You know, I think what sets this movie apart from a lot of the other action movies, because there's some people saying, oh, it's just like, and I remember on How Did This Get Made, you know, because I was like, Plain, okay, this is another like shitty action movie, Gerard Butler. Not that he makes a ton, but it's like, okay, I get it. How Did This Get Made was like, you need to see it. It's good. And it's because it's not, they don't try to get overly cute with it, but at least they are, it's very straightforward, but it is not dumb per se. Like, I was impressed within the first, I don't know how many minutes, when he gets in the cockpit with his co-pilot and they're going through everything. And it just, it, I don't know if it is factual, what he's saying and what they're saying. But just seeing the process, the actual real process, it felt very real and actual. It wasn't like a movie recreation of what they do. It felt like they were actually like preparing for takeoff, you know, and what, you know, the pilot and the head steward, flight attendant, you know, their discussion, how they're going to handle things, how, you know, just seeing that was nice. And it's so funny because I think that if this were to come out in the 80s or 90s, the executive would be like, fuck this bullshit. No one needs to know about that. You're going to confuse them and distract them. It's like, that'll never work. Just get to the tits and the ass and the explosion. It's just like, now it's what sets it apart from a lot of other movies, similar movies. And Gerard Butler is not this like, it is wild to see that he like, he got canned from his nice job because a fucking customer, a guest, sorry. Oh boy. What are they called? Guests, customers, flyer, passenger. Jesus. The passenger put his hands on Gerard Butler first, pushed him or hit him. And then Gerard Butler responded. And so that's when he got canned and had to fly all these crazy routes where he's going to like Singapore, and it's for like an airline that is not exactly top notch. So, you know, and it's just him and his daughter, and his daughter's in college. And he promises, it's like New Year's Eve. And so he's like promising her, like, I'm going to be there. I just have to go to Singapore and to Australia, to Japan. And then I'll come back. And it's just like, is he going to make it? I don't think so. So he ends up, so they end up, I thought that there was going to be more to the plane, why it went down. I thought it was like, because they, you know, right before the takeoff, the flight attendant's like, there's someone that has to see you. They were very adamant about it. So he goes, and it's like this agent or police officer or whatever that's responsible for this criminal, played by Michael Coulter, who got rung up on murder charges and is like spending years and years in jail. Or is going to go to jail for a long time. That he's been missing for a long time. They've been trying on the hunt to catch him. And so he's, you know, Gerard Butler's a little weary about that. But I ultimately thought the plane going down was going to be tied to either Michael Coulter, like he was the one who sabotaged the plane, or it was going to be some part of a larger conspiracy, like that's just where my brain went. And it's like, nope, just like got struck by lightning and it went down, you know? But I thought planes get struck by lightning all the time and like they're should be equipped to handle it. But that's also, so I thought maybe someone sabotaged like the lightning response system, you know, like we remove the lightning absorber. So yeah, they get struck by lightning and then they have to crash land, and seeing how that process worked was interesting. And him, in the matter of 10 seconds, being able to figure out like, okay, we're going to go for aquatic landing to, I see a road, I'm going to land on it. So just like envious of his, like the decision-making abilities and the ability to lead, I guess, as well. Because you have all those passengers who are fucking pissed and hot and sweaty and, you know, trying to wrangle them, and also feeling the shame, the guilt, like of losing them, and like I can't lose them because I'm responsible for it. It's like, well, dude, it's they made you go through the lightning storm, dude. You said we shouldn't be going through that. You said we should be going around it, but they forced you to go through it because they wanted to save money on gas or some bullshit, like $14,000, $12,000. Yikes. But, you know, I thought the fight scenes were pretty awesome. The Merce, like they bring in this crisis communications guru or whatever, who is able to call in these mercenaries that you don't have much backstory on. And so then they come in and they fuck shit up and they save the day for the most part. It's kind of wild though, watching these mercenaries, and it's like, y'all can't throw in a helmet. Like, I guess that's not badass, but it's like, if you're mercenaries and you do this for a living, and I know you're probably alpha as fuck and you have all the confidence in the world, I get it. At the same time, wouldn't you protect yourself to the nines, knowing that you're going to be taking on heavy fire? I don't know. But plane's good. I think, you know, and I think, how did this get made? Said this too, but like, you could probably build a franchise off of this, and maybe it's not Plane 2, Plane 3. You know, is it in the vein of Taken? Maybe not, but maybe it's an anthology type thing where it's like, you have the formula. Gerard Butler encounters X, Y, or Z, teams up with unlikely partner, you know. But I can see why people liked it. I can see why it's been well received, you know. There was nothing about it that made me say, no, this is like so far-fetched. Oh, they're skating on oil slicks now? You know, none of that. So I do have to cancel my free trial of Star, so I cannot be paying for another goddamn service. And then I watched the first episode of X-Men 97 on Disney Plus. And goddamn, I've missed that animated series. I didn't know I missed it until I saw it again. And I was like, holy shit. I remember watching this like middle school, junior high, maybe not high school, but junior high, middle school, watching that. And like that song. And so X-Men 97 is the same identical animation style. It's not like all zhuzhed up, you know, with modern day effects. And I mean, it's literally like you're watching a cartoon that came out in 1997. So yeah, I mean, I like it. It's just, it brings me, there's like nostalgia whole thing going on. It brings me a level of comfort. That might be my like late night pre-sleep routine, because it's what's wild is like, when it's a cartoon, people fucking love the dialogue. But if you were to place that same dialogue in a live action movie, people would be like, what? Like, a lot of it was just, oh. But then there are some pretty good lines, mostly from Wolverine. Oh yeah, X-Men 97. It's definitely a yes. All right. That's all that you need to know. There's no more to know. That's another episode of Giant Mess. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Follow me on Twitter at RealCinch. Follow me on Instagram at RealCinch. Follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/GiantMess. Follow me on YouTube. You can go to YouTube and see this fucking ugly mug. I mean, what more incentive do you need? Watch me visually melt down, because the facial expressions that I give along with the verbals are priceless. And yeah, we'll talk to you next week. Big pre-draft special next week. What are the Giants going to do at 6? Are they going to trade back? Are they going to trade up? Quarterback, receiver, offensive lineman, cornerback. I'll answer all those questions. No, I will not answer all of those questions and more next week. So, yeah, let's get back on track, huh? Mentally, physically, emotionally, we've been through some tough times, but let's just dig our way out and keep going. You're stronger than you think you are. All right, that's enough. Adios, muchachos.